Welcome to episode 32 of Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie and I'll be bringing you the news, reviews, interviews and recommendations of the latest must-see theatre. We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, the next hot ticks and friendly advice on where to get hold of those best tickets. Despite so much uncertainty during this COVID-19 pandemic, Broadway sadly is going to be remaining closed until at least May the 30th, 2021. Broadway League announced this extended suspension earlier on in the week in light of protecting audiences, cast and crew. Theatre may be in the dark, and the Tony Awards that were scheduled to be held on June the 7th at Radio City Music Hall, New York, televised by CBS, were postponed. However, the nominations were announced this week on October the 15th by James Monroe Inglehart, and this was all online. So Jagged Little Pill led the field, and this had 15 nominations. I remember my friend who lives in New York, when I went to visit, she was like, oh, you must go and see that. And I didn't quite get round to it. Slave's Play also, which was sold out when I was on Broadway back in October, had 12 nominations. It broke the record for most nominations in a non-musical, and up for Best Musical was Jagged Little Pill and Tina, and then also the show that I absolutely loved, my first show that I saw on Broadway last October, which was Moulin Rouge the Musical, which I reviewed in episode 8. This received 14 nominations, and in a sign of the COVID times, a reminder of the shortened stage season, Aaron Tveit won. Well, he was the only actor nominated for a lead role in a musical in Moulin Rouge, so he's won his category. They're yet to announce a format for the new date for a new ceremony. And I was surprised not to see Beetlejuice represented, as I absolutely love this show. And you can listen to more about this on episode 18, the Broadway Spectacular episode. Meanwhile, here in the UK, despite local lockdowns and the three-tier introduction by the government, I was overjoyed to hear that two of my A-level theatre studies students who completed their courses this summer, amongst all the exams and centre-assessed grades and algorithms controversy, managed to successfully this month begin their drama school courses. And this goes to show that the arts are still most definitely a viable destination for our young people. The chair of the Arts Council for England, Sir Nicholas Sirota, said, "Theatres, museums, galleries, dance companies and music venues bring joy to people and life to our cities, towns and villages." Well, I think we all agree with that. Following the COVID-19 crisis, the Arts Council has developed a £160 million emergency rescue response package, which is nearly 90% of that is coming from the National Lottery for organisations and individuals who are needing support. And I know there are many, many people out there. They're also one of the several bodies that are administering the government's Culture Recovery Fund of £1.57 billion. These are certainly worrying times for the performing arts, and the Culture Secretary, Oliver Dowden, stated, "The funding is a vital boost for the theatres, music venues, museums and cultural organisations that form the soul of our nation. It will protect these special places, save jobs and help the culture sector's recovery. This represents the biggest ever one-off investment in UK culture. And I mean, this is a vital, much-needed lifeline, which will hopefully help some of these venues stay afloat while their doors are closed. More than 350,000 recreation and leisure industry professionals have been furloughed since the pandemic began." And Boris Johnson stated, "From iconic theatre and musicals, mesmerising exhibitions at our world-class galleries, to gigs performed in local basement venues, the UK's cultural industry is the beating heart of this country." Well, I think finally the arts industry feel that they are being valued and appreciated, because both of these statements were a huge improvement on the comments made about the industry by Rishi Sunak earlier on this month, which prompted some rather strong, understandably, responses on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Now, Now, I don't often talk about television, but on Britain's Got Talent, The Final, the nation got the chance to see an epic musical theatre extravaganza with guest performances from the West End casts of three shows. I want to say a huge congratulations to my friend Sammy and her daughter Honey, who were semi-finalists on the show. I'm so, so proud of her. It beat the entering of karaoke competitions that we used to do together back in Essex, and she's overcome illness, and after getting that golden buzzer from Amanda Holden back in one of the opening shows, it was just wonderful to see her thriving and doing what she loves. And there's a lovely interview on The Lorraine Show with her on YouTube. And so it was heartwarming and emotional to watch these three casts, so Mary Poppins, The Phantom of the Opera and the Les Miserables concert version cast, performing. Some of them, this was their first performance since they rocked up for performances on March the 16th and were told to go home that evening from their dressing rooms. And then immediately after this week, the Les Miserables stage concert tickets went on sale to the general public and they sold out in less than one day. I didn't even get to 24601 in the queue. If only there had been one more day to book. But it is really, really good to see that these shows are selling out. And this certainly proves that where they supply us with tickets, there is certainly, certainly a demand, despite the empty chairs and empty tables. So I'm hoping that the producers will look at these sellout shows and think, well, let's put on a show and maybe do a live stream at the same time for those people who can't come into the West End or who are still fearful or self-isolating. My good friend Kirsty Hoyles, who plays Tanya in Mamma Mia at the Novello Theatre in the West End, I spoke to her back in episode 9 and also episode 30. Her husband is in the cast of Mary Poppins, so Mark Goldthorpe, who I spoke to in episode 25. Here's her perspective on watching the Britain's Got Talent final musical theatre extravaganza last week.
Hello, it's Kirsty Hoyles here. I just wanted to share with you my thoughts really on watching the final of Britain's Got Talent and mainly watching the combined companies of Mary Poppins, Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis perform at the end of the show. It was really moving to watch friends and colleagues that haven't performed for 7 months doing what they do best. I thought all the shows sounded brilliant and super slick, and it was really heartening to know that it was such a great response from the general public with amazing advance sales for the Les Mis concert, suggesting to me there is really an appetite for people to get back to the West End when it's safe to do so. So we really hope that that agenda is going to be pushed by the government and that we will be able to get back soon. For those of us for whom it's been our bread and butter, it's been a really difficult time. Speaking of that, I've been doing a lot of teaching online, which has been working really well over Zoom. I'm teaching singing and acting to all ages. I've got some really young performers, as well as those who are young professionals wanting to sharpen up their rep folders, explore acting through song or look at script work. So I'm teaching both acting and singing. It's working well. And I've taught for 20 years alongside my professional career working at drama schools and working for education departments in theatres. But it's been great to be able to get that up and running from home and to keep my own brain ticking over as well. Because you learn through teaching as well as teaching others. So it's been good. So do find me on social media if you're interested in a lesson. Take care, everyone. Stay safe and catch up soon.
So to find Kirsty, go to @KirstyHoyles on Instagram or Twitter. If you, like me, didn't manage to get tickets to the Les Miserables concert, then have a listen to episode 16 of Theatre Audience Podcast, where I did a review from the gala opening at the Sondheim, where I chatted to Kieran Bowling, who's in the show, or have a listen to episode 20, where I went to Back Together at the O2, and there's loads of songs from Michael Ball and Alfie Bow. Pretty much sold out at the National Theatre. So again, showing that where they're supplying these tickets, we are absolutely wanting to get to the theatre. is the showing of Death of England, Delroy. This is a new play by Clint Dyer and Roy Williams, and this is on from the 21st of October until the 28th of November, and this is at the Olivier. They've rearranged all the seating to make it absolutely COVID-friendly, and this is 90 minutes showing with no interval, and it's written in response to their play Death of England, and Michael Balogun plays Delroy and explores a black working class man searching for truth and confronting his relationship with Great Britain. And also, National Theatre have still got their live showings of Present Laughter, War Horse, A Midsummer Night's Dream that was on at the Bridge Theatre, which I loved, Frankenstein, Serrano, Fleabag. These are all productions which I've discussed in previous episodes. And at the Bridge Theatre, tickets are selling as fast as they are providing them. And they are working really hard to bring us as much varied theatre as possible. They've got a repertory theatre going. They've got socially distanced 250 seats and they've got very thorough safety measures in place. They're compliant with the new Tier 2 measures that have been released in London. And their currently rep season has been extended to November the 7th. Ralph Fiennes is in David Hare's passionate Beat the Devil. I wish I could get tickets to see this. And Inua Ellams in his autobiographical An Evening with an Immigrant. And Zodwa Nioni's Nine Lives. All of these are on the Bridge Theatre website, but also they've got a few sort of rush tickets on Tomorrow Today Tix. Simon Russell Beale, Patsy Farron and Eben Figueiredo will play all the parts in the new version of A Christmas Carol. This is currently booking. I've been looking at getting booking tickets today, actually. And this is devised and directed by Nicholas Heitner. Yolanda Mercy returns with more performances of Quarter Life Crisis. And Osmond Boeing performs his Fake News. And the tickets are all on sale at the moment. And then there's a first preview of his new show intended for next year, where Simon Anstall gives us Work in Progress. And so my friend and theatre producer, Darren Murphy, went to the Bridge Theatre last week, and here's his response of what he saw.
So I recently stepped back into the theatre, the Bridge Theatre to be precise, to watch two of the Talking Heads monologues written by Alan Bennett. The first one was Nights in the Gardens of Spain, followed by Miss Fozard Finds Her Feet, the first of which starred Tamsin Gregg, who played the character of Rosemary, who basically calls the morning she was accosted by her neighbour Fran, who basically shot her husband. Though she's been sexually abused for 5 years, Fran is given a 2-year sentence, and as Rosemary's friendship with her deepens, she has a look again at her own marriage. Now, this story was actually quite interesting because you almost get I guess you kind of think that maybe Rosemary is actually jealous of her neighbour for shooting her husband. Like, the whole thing about Rosemary feeling trapped in his marriage, and even like when she suggests things like the way that he mumbles under his breath and things like that, she really has almost like a hatred for him, and actually feels jealous that her neighbour has got away, not obviously with murder because she's going to be in prison, but got away from her husband. A very bonkers, dark comedy, but definitely worthwhile seeing. And in contrast to that was obviously Miss Fozard Finds Her Feet, which is, again, played by the amazing Maxine Peake, who is incredible. I try and see in everything she does in theatre. I love her on TV, and she is one of our most amazing actresses. From when we first saw her in Dinner Ladies with the incredible... why have I forgotten her bloody name? Victoria Wood. That's bonkers. But Miss Foster is basically a story about a chiropodist. And he has a fetish about shoes and feet. And there's this whole kind of like gameplay based around words and expressions, which is so much fun. And the language is incredible. It's so dark and so funny and witty. So basically, their weekly sessions of her having her feet done raise the tricky questions of who's actually treating who. Like, she gets her feet rubbed and scrubbed, and he gets off by actually touching her feet. It's completely bonkers, but definitely worthwhile seeing. And the two pieces are completely different, but so well played by the two actresses, Tamsin Gregg and Maxine Peake. So steal a ticket if you're able to, because you have to get back into the theatre and see this kind of stuff.
So a couple of weeks ago, I was lucky enough to go to Lockdown Town, One Night Records. This was a wonderful weekday night out with my girlfriends. And we immersed ourselves in five musical worlds from 1919 ragtime to 1950s rock and roll. It was a series of warehouses, so very much punch drunk in feel, near London Bridge, and social distancing measures were in place to keep it safe and secure, and the staff were fantastic. This was not so much a piece of theatre, but an immersive live music experience, and boy, has it been a long time since we've experienced live music. And it took us back to a bygone era of musical innovation. We embarked on an unforgettable adventure through a maze of secret tunnels and discovered the magic of the disruptive and radical nature of live music, accompanied by some food and drink. Also note that The Great Gatsby is back. This piece of immersive theatre I saw last year and dressed up in our Flapper Girl costumes. And this is relaunching this month with their new COVID-compliant production. So I'm looking forward to going to see this and seeing what changes that they've made. Either of these performances would provide a great fun night out. Please do support all the theatre that's going on at the moment, as this would be a great opportunity to just get out there and support these creatives who are doing a sterling job.
And also on this week, but for 1 week only, is Assassin 2, written by an old friend of mine, Ivanhoe Narona. And this is playing at the White Bear Theatre in Kennington. If you go to the White Bear website, you can pick up a ticket. And this marks their first production since the lockdown. So this is their opening production. And this piece bundles contemporary drama with action, laughs and important reflections on life. And here's the stars of the show, Ivanhoe and Ross, to tell you a little bit more about the production.
I'm Ross.
I'm Ivanhoe.
We are Hard Edge Productions.
And I have written a play called Assassin 2 that's playing this week
at the White Bear Theatre in Kennington from the 21st to the 24th. The 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Matinee day on the 22nd, which is at 3:30. The other dates are 7 o'clock.
I wrote Assassin 2 through the lockdown. I had to write it. I just couldn't sit at home doing nothing while there was a coronavirus going around us. I wrote it initially because we were going to put it on at the White Bear in April, but of course, once the lockdown came in, we were told we couldn't do it anymore. However, myself and the star of the show, Ross, decided that we would do a Zoom film. I was really lucky. I put the Zoom film out. Michael Kingsbury, the artistic director at the White Bear, saw it and said we could put it on. Whatever happens, do not let theatre die.
And now for my finale and curtain call. So it's wonderful to see UK theatre slowly picking up. There's lots of productions popping up around the country, with the Les Mis staged concert, National Theatre, The Bridge, Six, and then small venues like The White Bear and the Southwark Playhouse. On the high recommendations of my friend Gracie, I'm going to see The Last 5 Years this week at the Southwark Playhouse. And I've posted photos on my Instagram of how the auditorium's going to look. I think they're putting screens between each group, and there's 2 metres between each row. A huge thank you to Kirsty Hoyles, Darren Lee Murphy and Ivanhoe Narona for their contributions to this episode of Theatre Audience Podcast. Please stay safe. Please tune in next time and recommend us to all your friends and family. Follow us on Spotify, Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at TheatreAudiePod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see and review. If you've enjoyed the show, then please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and leave us a little review. Until next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.